Whether it's financial security, a free vacation home, time for traveling, more quality time with the family, or even early retirement, whatever you choose to do with the income and benefits that come with successfully investing in short-term rentals, you know that it's certainly life-changing. This podcast will help guide and support you on your journey to five-star STR success.
Everybody, welcome to five-star STR success. I've got Eric Carrico over here. Uh-oh, I got my feedback. I always forget to pause that. Let's start all over. Welcome to five-star STR success. I've got Eric Carrico here of the Woodford Brands. I guess that's the brand's name. I know you have a Woodford Hotel coming. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, who you are, where you came from, where you're at today, and where you're going?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Eric Carrico. I think you and I met about, 8 years ago, maybe something like that. It was a long time ago. We had dinner across from each other whenever we were just starting the STR process.
Yep.
My background is I was classically trained as a civil engineer. And back in 2013, 2014, my wife and I had started to do short-term rentals as kind of a separate side business so that she could get income while we were, you know, she was taking care of the kids and I was working full time. So we were between houses and we decided to try this short-term rental stuff out. And from there, we saw that it was profitable and we just continued to grow our portfolio, look into different things about what we enjoy about it. And then we really decided to build a brand. I don't even know if I'd call it a brand. I just decided to build an STR business around what we like, which happens to be bourbon and horses. And so we're here in Kentucky, which is the epicenter of it all. And throughout that, we've met tons of people. And I would say 80 to 90% of them were here traveling for the bourbon trail. So I thought I'd get more into it. And that's kind of where I came across all the people that are in the space. And mainly I just, you know, try to get educated on it so that when guests come to our houses or whatever, I can explain to them, you know, what I like to do, where I like to go, kind of, you know, give them a insight into all the different things Kentucky has, because it's not like the typical kind of experience travel. Like if you go to California and you go out to, you know, wine country or something like that, there's the bourbon trail's a little more spaced out. Obviously you have the different distilleries and things like that and all these small towns that you can go through. And, you know, my background of working in engineering, I spent a lot of time going through these towns and places. And so, that's when I recognized that, hey, there's opportunity. And, the latest venture that we have is the Woodford Hotel, which is located in Versailles, Kentucky.
That's awesome.
It's within 10 minutes of, Buffalo Trace, Woodford Reserve, Four Roses and Wild Turkey. So.
Well, I will say that my wife and I got to spend some time with you a couple of years ago. I think it was during COVID, and we got to enjoy the bourbon trail, and it's beautiful. I get it. I see it. I do appreciate how you've kind of niched down into your own thing. And yes, it is a brand. Your horses, your bourbon, your racing horses. You've got the bourbon stuff going on. It's super awesome. Honestly, it's very inspiring. For somebody like some of the beginners here that maybe not have, we've got beginners and experienced people in this group, but a lot of people who are just getting started and they're just trying to figure this thing out. They've got three or four and they're trying to figure out how to brand. I think you can kind of, you know, steer them towards a clear path by this, you know, going through this episode. Even me and my own brand, I started buying up in the all over the South, actually all over Georgia and South Carolina and then Alabama and so on. And then I started having interest in neighboring states. So I said, oh man, these homes are charming. They're kind of smaller homes, boutique kind of style setup. I'm going to call it Southern Charm Vacay. So I think the more you keep billowing further, if that's a word, I think billowing is a word. The more you keep moving forward, you'll kind of start seeing a clear path. And I think you've done that. And I really appreciate you coming on here to talk to us. So let's start with this. How many houses do you have right now?
So we sold off a portfolio of our smaller houses, and currently we have four large homes. Mm-hmm. And then starting hopefully October 1st, we're going to open up the hotel. which will be 8 units. And then on top of that, we have a kind of like a space that would be like a flex work slash, you know, if people want to do like bourbon tastings, we got that in the works. And then we also have a bottle shop in the works and some other things focused on the bourbon itself.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. So yeah, I was there. I think you had 5 or 6 homes. So I'm in the same process of selling off my smaller homes. A couple of years ago, you could make money on smaller homes. I mean, honestly, now it's kind of getting harder. And the clientele that's coming in these smaller homes, I'm not really digging. So I don't know if you've experienced the same thing, but that's why I've been selling some of my smaller homes and trying to get into larger properties. I know this is your show. My wife and I are actually rethinking our own branding as well. We're thinking about, instead of Southern Charm Vacay all over the Southeast, we're actually thinking about diving deep into Georgia and buying all over Georgia's different vacation markets, you know, with Masters here, and, you know, you got Tybee Island, you got all kinds of stuff all over the place. So we're thinking about maybe keeping a couple of our assets that are distinguished outside of Georgia, but buying more in Georgia as the market changes. There might be some good deals. So we're going to start doing some direct seller marketing there. But dude, I'm really inspired by this, what you got going on here. The hotel, I've heard you talk about it off and on over the last couple of years. So if you don't mind, if you can elaborate on that story there, how did you find this property? I think it was an old bank, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, but how did you find this property? What kind of connection set that property up for you to purchase it? And what has been the process for reconstructing it over the last couple of years?
Sure. Yeah. So to your point, like a lot of people, you can go wide or you can go deep. And I like to go deep and the things that I like. So when looking at like the Bourbon Trail, there's kind of like 3 pod areas. There's Louisville, there's Bardstown, and then there's Lexington. And then there's some stuff in Northern Kentucky, things like that. And so in Louisville, you have like the urban bourbon experience where people go to downtown and they go through like 5 or 6 distilleries in downtown. They have lots of bourbon bars and things like that. But the problem is that's offset by an hour to Lexington or an hour to Bardstown. And so what I found from feedback with my clients was, we love going out to Woodford, but there's nothing to do out there. There's no place to stay. Like, you know, at 5 o'clock, the place shuts down and everybody either drives to Lexington or drives to Louisville when they still want to continue the party. So I'm like, well, there's obviously a need for it here because people are telling me that like they want to give money to stay there. So I started out looking in Bardstown and you know, I found a nice property in Bardstown. I thought it was a great location and everything, but they are very, I got the vibes of we're not STR friendly there. So one of the things that you know and I know is that you don't want to be in an area where they're not STR friendly and they're not regulated and things like that. Right. So I was pretty upset about it because I found like this perfect building. It was going to be a great layout and everything. And so I just kept looking. I canceled out Bardstown and I kept looking over by Lexington. And there was this commercial building that popped up for sale that was on the first floor. It's 5 commercial spaces. And then it was 8 apartments above it. And it was built in 1890. It's on the historical landmark records. And it's in this downtown that looks just dead up like downtown Disney. Like you have the town center, you have like the coffee shops, you have all the different like little restaurants, you have the antique stores. So I looked at it as, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to repurpose this building into something that you could, you know, make into an Airbnb type hotel. And come to find out, it was actually called the Woodford Hotel originally. It was built as a hotel in that town back in 1890. It was across the street from a bar. And through the years, it had fallen in disrepair and the city had taken over it in the 90s. And so they came in and they had put in an elevator. They put in a fire suppression system. They redid the foundation. All the things that like in today's dollars would be ridiculous. So, you know, walking in and looking at all the things that they had done, like the fire alarm system, the elevator and all that stuff, the bones that they had put into it and fixed and updated, it was really probably worth more than what the purchase price was for. So I knew it was an underpriced asset. On top of that, you know, the owner did, you know, defer maintenance, but I know how to fix maintenance. I know how to fix things. You know, I'm more of a person that likes to buy things and repurpose them and rebuild them. So, you know, I had a crew of people that could do that kind of stuff. So pretty much we walked through it, and it was during COVID too. So the reason why it came on the market is because the original buyer that had it under contract lost their financing. So it popped up, I just swooped in and said, yeah, we'll take it. And we ended up negotiating for about, I think we did a due diligence period of like 6 months. There's a lot of things that, you know, are wrong with it. So it's taken a while to fix, but at the same time, we're getting the historical tax credits from the federal government and from the state, on our construction costs. So we should get back 40% of our construction costs.
That's incredible. Yeah. I've looked at a hotel a couple of years ago back in, North Georgia, and I had it under contract. I just could not, unfortunately I'm limited because I'm over here in West Georgia. I live 2.5 hours away from North Georgia. My wife and I are moving as my youngest daughter moves out of high school, essentially in the next 4 years, we'll be moving up that way. So I'll have a little bit more control and creativity to enter into that space a little more. But yeah, man, I had a really good deal under contract. I just did not want to deal with it 2.5 hours away. With that said, do you think proximity is power? Because that's right up the road from you. It's easier to manage versus doing something as large as a project for 2 years. That's maybe like 3 hours away, or hell, even 8 hours away on a flight or so. What's your thoughts with that? Is this something do you think you could handle further away, 3-4 hours away, or is it better to have it in your backyard?
I think it just comes down to who you are. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to have a vacation home and they want to collect some revenue while they're owning their vacation home. Myself, I'm a builder. I got a civil engineering degree. I used to manage, you know, large projects, $100 million projects. And so for myself, I like to get my hands dirty. I like to be involved with it. It's almost like, you know, what it used to be, what my old job was. I no longer practice that. But, you know, being a project manager, being a owner's representative, finding, you know, deals, saving money, saving time, like speeding up the schedule. I mean, all this, you flipped houses. So, you know, it's like three things. It's all labor, material, and equipment. Yep. And then it just comes down to, you know, a schedule, a plan, and how you implement that. So those six things are like how I operate my business. And I can literally find a property that's 3 hours away and it'd be great, or I can find a property in my own backyard and make it great. That's the way I feel. It's just finding the underpriced assets and if they resonate with you and if it's kind of like what you want to do. And that's been a real, you know, thing that we latched onto. And so we just kind of went deep on it and we're like, okay, we're going to do this. So it really comes down to the individual, your appetite for your, you know, what your experience is and things like that. So,
Yeah, I agree. I want to move on to your bourbon Sherpa. If people don't know what a Sherpa is, I believe it means guide. So you are known as the bourbon Sherpa, or better yet, the bourbon guide, and your Instagram account at bourbon Sherpa, BourbonSherpa. You guys want to follow them. It's really good. I think you run this account yourself, or maybe you and your wife together. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I got to give credit to my wife. She started it. It was based off of our renovations in Airbnb homes. And you know, when you're going through all that process, we try to document it. And we found that, you know, she was, you know, doing the documentation of it, but at the same time, I was like, I want some bourbon stuff and horses stuff. So yes, we run it together. And basically the whole bourbon Sherpa evolved from, when I was doing a podcast with, Kenny and Ryan from the Bourbon Pursuit. Mm-hmm. Kenny was like, everybody comes to you because they want to know where to go and things to do. He's like, you're the Sherpa. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. And I was like, he's like, yeah, you better go take that on Instagram right now. So
better than the bourbon bitch, you know.
Definitely better than the bourbon bitch. But yeah, so I was like, you know, that is a good title and a good name. So I thought about it and I was like, you know, I'll start a Facebook group called What Is on the Bourbon Trail Today. And I'll just talk about what people want to do, because people really don't have a clue. If you're coming from California, it's not like going to the wine country. You can't sip bourbon all day while you're a distillery and still function. Like, you know, it's almost like, you know, you got to pace yourself. You got to know like where to go, kind of lay it out and things like that. And so that's kind of what I focused on.
You know, I've got a, well, first of all, your Instagram account is, let's go back to that. Your Instagram account is completely badass. Well, that one's mine. But anyways, I just somehow X'd out of it. But yours is awesome. It really narrates the story of what you do and what your life is about and things like that. I think it is probably one of the best sole owner run account on Instagram as far as a short-term rental owner and their branding. You know, there's others with virtual assistants that run stuff and, you know, crazy stuff with what just aggressive professional video. People spend a lot of money on that, but you're doing that on a probably very little budget, and it looks amazing. So congrats to that. I love watching your stories. I think everybody needs to follow him at Bourbon Sherpa. I do. I guess as we wrap up, because I know you got to go, I do want to propose something. You know, my wife and I, we enjoy entertaining people. Random hair floating around in front of my nose. We enjoy entertaining people. We're doing the North Georgia Mountains next month, and touring people out here. But I did enjoy the Bourbon Trail when I was out there. I need to get with you maybe sometime next year, and we do like a Bourbon Trail tour and bring 8 couples in, and whether you wanted to help host with me or not. But I my wife and I have this vision of just taking maybe once a quarter people all over the country in these cool places, mostly centered around wine. But I did enjoy the Bourbon Trail, and I do enjoy bourbon. I'm a bourbon junkie, actually. So I don't know. What do you think about something like that? If we concoct a plan with you sometime for next year and you know, set something up, would you be
open? Absolutely, 100%. I'm all for it. That was the whole thought process behind the hotel, how we're creating it. We have about an 1,800 square foot space where you could literally I could bring in some people like Fred Minnick and some other, like, you know, professional bourbon tasters, bourbon distillers. And you'll be within a 10-minute radius of all of these distilleries. And then at the hotel, you could bring in and do your own tastings, your own pairings. We already have contacted a bunch of caterers that want to be part of it. And so, like, you could literally have up to 34 people stay at this space. And then you have a space on the first floor where you can gather, have a meal together, and go through all your different tastings and, you know, sample and have bottle shares. Really, a lot of this came out of Bourbon Pursuit. I got to give a shout out to them for their podcast. They had a bottle share at one of my Airbnbs, and like, it was the most ridiculous amount of bourbon I've ever seen. And it was like, you know, they're pulling out Stags from like 2002. They got like the BTAC, the Buffalo Trace, like crazy stuff. There's people with Pappy, and it's just a bunch of guys hanging around talking about like all their different, you know, bourbon nerd stuff. So that's kind of what I got into. And I'm like, man, this would be really cool if we had a bigger space where everybody could get together, and then you don't have to take Ubers home. So that's kind of what it was.
That's awesome. Well, guys, this is what it's like when you go from corporate America, working full time in a career that you love. And I think you loved your career. Some people don't, but Eric still shifted to full time short term rentals and doing the things he loved. He pursued his destiny going in and creating things. And he's making a full time income off of 4 larger homes, as well as doing some part time civil engineer work. Still, and you're crafting your vision and running stuff the way you want with bourbon and horses and hotels. Like, this is the American dream. I guess you feel every time I talk to you, you definitely feel like you're blessed every single day to be able to do what you do. Has anything changed since the last time I talked to you? Do you still feel that way? Are you still enjoying what you're doing?
1,000%. I got to give credit to my wife, Kristen Carrico. She's the one that, you know, builds the spaces and decorates the spaces. We work together as a full-time team. She doesn't like to do the social media stuff with like interviews and things like that, but she's like really a lot of the brains, and she brings all the, you know, decorations and all the special things behind it, which makes the whole ship run. And, you know, I wouldn't be here without her. And, you know, we work together as a good team. And I think that's one of the special things that we have, is that we, both can work together as a team. I handle like a lot of the construction, engineering, maintenance kind of stuff. She handles all the, you know, decorations slash, you know, she makes things spaces nice. And she also handles a lot of things and that we can't have, that would never work if I didn't have somebody on my team like her. So I just want to give a shout out to her. And yeah, it's, we wake up every day and it's, a lot of people think it's not, it's passive income. It is not passive income. Like we work. Yeah. like I was loading up a car with like stuff to take to the hotel before, you know, before I was talking to you. So it's definitely work, but yeah, it's a great life. Just, I mean, whatever set, it's like, you just got to look at what you like in life and whatever it is and sets you on fire, just go do that. And if you wake up every day doing it, you won't even think you're working. It's great. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, that's a perfect way to end this interview. Let you get to yoga. Guys, everybody follow Eric here on the Bourbon Sherpa. Bourbon Sherpa. Oh my God. It's still a little early. At Bourbon Sherpa. And also the, what's your Facebook group again?
What is on the Bourbon Trail today?
What is on the Bourbon Trail? I'm in that Facebook group. It's a great group. I'll link all that into our show notes. All these episodes are coming out very soon. I've kind of restarted this and enjoying it. So thank you, Eric, for coming on here. I'm going to reach out to you for a trip next year, which would be maybe a good timing for seasonality for Kentucky, which I don't know what the best time of the year is. But
September is bourbon month. So you want to come in September. Yeah. Right, September's well, National Bourbon Month. They're dropping like bottles all over the place. People are lined up at liquor stores every morning now. And I don't even know what they're dropping, but like people are like lined up at liquor stores every morning now.
Well, let's book your hotel for two nights, whatever. Just give me your best dates. I'll start pushing it for next year. Get eight couples. You know, there's eight rooms. Yeah. So of course I'll be one of them. So I'll get seven couples that want to pay. Make sure that we pay you a fair price that's good for you for the hotel, and then we'll just craft this awesome experience, man.
Yeah, I'll be on. I'll be this weekend or next Thursday. I'll be on Bourbon and Beyond, or I'll be at Bourbon Beyond. Working the festival. So I don't know if your listeners are into music and stuff, but just Google that Bourbon Beyond Festival. So I think what would be really cool is if we transition, so we could do like during the week, we could do out in Versailles, like on the trail. And then that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we could do Bourbon and Beyond, you know, so you can make like a really cool week of it. Okay. Bourbon and Beyond is like a pretty cool festival. Like it's got Chris Stapleton, Pearl Jam, it's like my total like jam of like everybody I loved when I was a kid, you know, or not a kid, but you know, it's like, I take my kids to school and I'm like, you guys need to learn this music. And they're like, what is this? And
I'm like, all these kids are listening to Hood Rat now.
Yeah. I'm like, no, you gotta learn some alternative, like adult rock.
Yeah.
And that's where, I guess that's what genre I am. I'm adult rock now. So
Yeah. We're going to Chris Stapleton soon. We just got back from Imagine Dragons. Yeah, dude, we love concerts. My kids like to listen to the new age rap. I'm like, go back to the 90s rap if you're gonna listen to rap.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the great things about COVID, man. I realized how much I love live music. And now, you know, we try to go to a concert quite a bit. So we've been to a few, but like next year, need to line up something for that Bourbon Beyond. I think you guys would have a blast.
That's awesome, man. We're going to do it, man. I'm going to reach out to you. Well, thank you so much. I'll let you get to your workout, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no worries, Brandon. You guys have a good day.
All right.
See you, everybody. You.